Have you been wandering through life with no purpose? Are you looking for a catalyst to change your life for the better? These Servant Leadership podcasts will change your perspective of yourself, others, and your creator. This transformational leadership approach uses seven simple tools to help you understand your purpose in life. Please join
this is Servant
Dave
Leadership
Kuhnert
podcast number 11, Resolving Conflict. As the title of the podcast would represent for us here today, we're going to talk a lot about conflict resolution. And real important to first, I think, go back and look at where we came from to get to where we have to talk about conflict resolution. We started off by saying there's a structure for life, which is there, here, path, right? We have the there we're trying to get to, and we got to have clarity of the there. We want to have that clarity so we know where we're going, exactly where we're going, and as a team, we can point that out, and that can create unity. And if we have unity of that understanding, everybody knows, then we can also have synergy. So we have the there. Then we have this here, this current reality, where we are. We're not necessarily physically, but where we are in life. And we have that with transparency, all supported by facts and not emotions. So we know where we are. And then we have the path that links the here to the there. And we talked about that before being the mood curve. We have this initial excitement, where we're on the upward trend. And then things get bad. We get into the pit of despair because things don't go as we expect them to. That's going to require us to have to act, learn, and adjust as we go through this pit of despair. And in this pit of despair is typically where we're going to see having to use that freedom V, clear expectations and clear consequences. And when somebody violates the parameters of that freedom V, they've violated the expectation, we do the moment of truth. And in our last episode, we talked about that moment of truth being, number one, we want to get to the bottom of it. We want to acknowledge what the reality of it is. Can we agree that this is what happened, yes or no, that binary thinking? So we get them to acknowledge reality. Then we get into the story of it. How did it get that way? We want to know that because a moment of truth isn't a tool to beat them over the head with. It's a tool to help them get down the road of life towards that there. So we want them to get better. We want to know how it got that way so we can come up with step three, which is the plan. And once we have that plan and we've executed that plan, then we give them feedback, which is step four. Well, as you can imagine, in that pit of despair, as we're down there and things aren't going well, there's going to be a lot of moments of truth going on as we try to get better. So seeking and acknowledging truth, helping people see their current reality, it can be very difficult. And because it's difficult, there's going to be a lot of emotions involved, and there's going to be conflict involved. So today we're going to talk about that conflict and how to resolve conflict in a healthy manner.
So Dave, do you think most people's perceptions of conflict is that it's always a negative thing?
Absolutely, yeah. So let's start by defining what conflict is. So Chris, when you think of conflict, how do you view it?
Just turmoil. I mean, kind of opposite opinions on some position.
Yeah, typically people think of it as opposing sides, and it's this real emotional thing. Some synonyms you often hear when I teach the class, people would say war, arguments, emotions, on and on and on, these negative connotations.
Marriage.
Yeah, marriage, unfortunately, for a lot of people in America, that is true. There is a lot of conflict whenever there's a team. And that reason that conflict is involved is because things aren't going the way we want them to. We're lacking clarity of the there. We're lacking current reality. And in a marriage, when you see that friction, that conflict, it's because of one of those two things generally. We're not communicating well. We don't know where we're going. We don't know where we've been. And we don't know where we are. So it can be really difficult and cause a lot of conflict. And that's typically our viewpoint of conflict. But conflict doesn't have to be a negative thing. Conflict is a very positive thing. We come out of conflict, when we handle it right, very much stronger than when we went in. So conflict as a negative connotation is all in the viewpoint or perception of the beholder. Reality is conflict is healthy. Conflict can be very good, and conflict can help us get further down the road, can grow our relationship. You could have a sandwich on the table and Saturday afternoon for lunch, and you and your wife are deciding, hey, there's only one sandwich left. Who's going to get the sandwich? Well, let's cut it in half. Well, you just did a conflict resolution. It doesn't mean that it got out of hand. It doesn't mean that it was emotional. It just means that we solved an issue and there was some conflict involved. There's five ways, really, to handle conflict. But whenever there's a lack of clarity, whenever there's a lack of current reality, we're going to have some kind of conflict. And how we handle conflict is good or bad. Conflict in and of itself isn't good or bad. It's usually me that's the problem with conflict. Me, that flashing me that becomes the whole problem with how conflict gets resolved. So there's five appropriate ways to handle conflict resolution. And those are competing, collaborating, compromising, accommodating, or avoiding. Typically, we have a bent for one of them. We tend to overuse a couple of them, and we tend to underuse a lot of them.
So, Dave, give me an example of one that you overuse and just kind of an example in life of how it could be negative.
Well, let's go back to our previous podcast on the mood curve. We talked about marriage and how the mood curve works for that. You know, the happy couple, they're really excited to be getting engaged, and they have engagement parties and bridal showers, and they have all this stuff going on, and it starts becoming about them instead of about the marriage. And they get married, and pretty soon they recognize that he likes Crest and she likes Colgate. He likes to squeeze the toothpaste tube from the end of the tube, and she likes to squeeze her Colgate in the middle of the tube. So they have these lack of norms in their relationship. He opens presents on Christmas Eve, she opens them on Christmas Day. And now they're together and they've got to work through these minor conflicts. Well, my bent or my go-to in a situation like that is to compete. I'm a big competitor. So when it comes to conflict, I do the same thing. I want to have my way or the highway. So that's competition. So competition would be, not only are we going to have Crest, but we're also going to squeeze from the bottom. I don't care what you like, my way is the right way. And so that's competition, when we feel very strongly about something. And that's the one I tend to overuse the most. The one I would underuse the most would be avoidance. I don't avoid conflict. In fact, if I hear conflict a quarter mile away, I'll run down there just so I can be a part of it. I really want to be part of resolving issues. And unfortunately, the way I tend to do it is competing. There's a lot of danger in that. People who compete all the time, that you may look at that and say, well, that's awesome. I have the best ideas. I should be competing. There are things we should be competing about, like values. If we're talking about somebody's values here, yeah, we absolutely should be competing. But maybe not so much on toothpaste.
Right.
It may not be as important. Because people who compete all the time, pretty soon people are going to quit asking your opinion. Because it's my way or the highway. That's the way it's going to be.
So do you think it's important for people to really kind of do some introspection and understand, hey, I'm bent to a certain way of handling conflict, and I need to understand kind of how to do it in a positive manner or how to prevent overusing? Because I would say we're probably all God made a certain way, right? Whether it be, hey, I'm an avoider, or I'm a competitor, or I'm a collaborator, and that sort of thing.
I think this absolutely comes down to choice. We can choose to self-arrest. Typically, people who compete a lot, it's because of emotions. So we can choose to self-arrest in our emotions. So let's go through and kind of define each of the five, talk about kind of where we see ourselves, and then how each of them would work in a situation. So we'll just continue with that analogy of the toothpaste and our happy couple in the pit of despair, where he likes Crest, she likes Colgate. He squeezes at the end, she squeezes in the middle. So if he's competing, he's going to want Crest and squeeze at the end. If she's going to compete, we're going to have two opposing views. There's no resolution here. We're both competing. It's going to cause all kinds of issues. So for it to be resolved, somebody's going to have to use one of the other conflict resolution styles, which would be accommodating. If there's a winner, there's got to be a loser. So this is a win-lose. So if she's going to accommodate, it's going to be, okay, Dave, you can have your Crest, and we'll squeeze at the end of the tube. Conflict resolved. She doesn't care enough about toothpaste to allow the marriage to go into a tailspin. So accommodating, we're competing is win-lose. Accommodating would be lose-win. I'm going to choose to lose this particular conflict because I don't care enough about it. Compromise would be, okay, we're going to use Crest, but we'll squeeze in the middle of the tube. So it's a win-lose, lose-win. We both win something, we both lose something. Avoiding would be, well, emotions are too high right now. Let's not talk about toothpaste. It's just we're both too fired up about what kind of toothpaste and where we squeeze it to really get anything accomplished. So there's appropriate times to avoid. Some people are avoiders throughout everything they do in life, though. That's their bent. And then there's collaborating. And collaborating is a true win-win. We both get what we want. So in our situation with the toothpaste, how does that work? Well, he wants Crest, she wants Colgate, two different kinds of toothpaste. Where they squeeze the toothpaste is different. So we could say, hey, we both like AIM, and we could use a pump. We both like the pump. We both get something we want. We both win, and it works out for the best for everybody. Or maybe you'd say we each get our own tube of toothpaste, whatever. There's a lot of ways to work through that, but collaboration's really hard. It's hard to make it work. It takes the most work. A lot of different ways to work through that as a couple, and a lot of communication.
A lot more energy.
Yeah, that's the word I was looking for. A lot more energy to actually get it to go. Yep. So you can kind of see the five of them. Now, a typical conflict isn't necessarily going to stick with one of them. You have a bent. So what would yours be, Chris? When you go into a conflict, what do you typically?
Competition, absolutely.
Oh, you're competing too.
And my wife is both. So it provides for some very interesting discussions.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'd like to be a fly on the wall there.
Yeah. But, you know, what we've done kind of is probably what you're about to go into is it seems like when you're doing a moment of truth, it goes from, you know, one way of conflict resolution to another, and hopefully you end up in collaboration.
Yeah, so your typical conflict can run the entire gambit. You might go into a conflict competing, and then you recognize, wait a minute, I'm a competitor. Let me slow it down here and let me figure out maybe my way is not the best way. So I went in competing, but she's competing. Let me listen for a second and not close myself off and just listen to what she's saying. Because now I might go to accommodating. I might recognize I'm competing, you're competing, but yours is better than mine. Let me accommodate here. That happens a lot. But in the big emotional ones, we tend to stick to our guns. So we can, though, run through, well, let's compete. I want to compete. That's how I'm wired. But let me listen. Maybe we should be compromising right here. Or maybe we can find a way to collaborate and recognize where you're at, your current reality, as far as what style you're utilizing. And is there a better way to do it? People who have a bent for avoidance, they'll tend to do that, even if it concerns values. So they've got to recognize, wait a minute, my bent is to avoid. This is about my values, or this is about something I believe in very strongly. I have to work myself around to competing where I need to be competing. I tend to underuse competing because I'm a big avoider. So I got to figure out how to do that best. There's a time and place for all of these. Every situation should dictate the conflict resolution style we're going to use. What people tend to do, though, is overuse one and underuse others instead of recognizing the one they should be using right now. So the important thing is to just be aware of what conflict resolution style I'm using and then ask myself, why am I using it? Is this about my personal pride? Is this about my ego? Is this about my emotions? Or is this about serving the other person? So we want servant leadership. What we say is serving others to get there. How am I serving them? What is in their best interest? So we've defined love as pursuing the best for others, patiently, kindly, sacrificially, and unconditionally. It may be in their best interest for me to compete right now. It doesn't mean giving them what they want. It means giving them what they need. And that's what love is about, is giving them what they need at that moment. And what they need sometimes is for you to compete. They need you to stand your ground. They need you to, your partner needs you to be the person who is going to compete on certain things and not give in where values are concerned, or something else that we believe in strongly.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think in marriage, the sooner you can get to kind of a healthy life cycle of conflict resolution, the better. So my wife and I both being competitors initially, it was just butting heads constantly. We both have the best idea. We both have the best idea, and you get fired up. And what we kind of realized is we start in this competitive space, and then we move to kind of this avoidance in a positive way. Okay, hey, we both got some ideas. Let's take half an hour, think about both ideas. Let's come back and try to come out with the best solution and collaborate. And for us, that works really well. Now it's not a, hey, let's not talk to each other for 2 days. It's a, hey, we've got a designated time to come back and kind of, you know, collaborate on what the indecision is.
Yeah, you've always heard, don't go to bed angry kind of thing.
Absolutely.
You know, get the emotions out of it, come back to it, avoid it for right now, come back and make it happen. Avoiding, though, continuous avoiding, there is no resolution. That conflict's always going to be there. So you've got to come back and readdress it at some point if you really want to resolve it. Maybe it's not worth resolving if it's something small or something petty, but typically if it's that emotional or that big of a deal, something needs to be addressed. And kicking the can down the road continuously isn't really helping anything. We want to get together, practice communicating, and executing our conflict resolution styles in a manner which is going to be beneficial, where I can serve her, where I can love her, and how I can help us get further towards our there of oneness, where we can both be one together. A lot of times, you know, we do these moments of truth and they don't go well, typically because we don't measure small and we don't measure often. If we'll just do that, it can take a lot of the emotion out, it can take a lot of the conflict out. So practicing moment of truth and sharing truth can avoid a lot of the major conflicts, and conflict will be more along the range of, well, do you want half the sandwich? Instead of this big blow up that we tend to have, or that we tend to view conflict as. Typically these measure small, measure often doesn't happen. So we end up with this big blowout, and it tends to take us down the trail the wrong way. We are heading down the wrong path, and we're moving towards the me there instead of the we there. We start moving towards our transcendent there and what we're trying to do in life. And if we'll just think about that, think about what we're supposed to be thinking about and how can I serve them right now instead of how can I serve myself right now, we'll tend to resolve that conflict a little easier if we can get our pride out of the way, if we can prevent those emotions from creeping into it. And that's what we're going to talk a lot about this next time in our next podcast, is emotions and loving them instead of letting emotions get in the way, how we can slow those emotions down. And that'll fit right into this idea of a moment of truth and conflict resolution. So if you take one thing out of today, it's that conflict can be good, conflict can be healthy. It doesn't have to be a big blow-up thing. How we handle conflict can be unhealthy. So change your perspective on conflict. Choose to look at conflict resolution a little differently. And quit overusing or underusing some of them and find out which one I should be using for the situation I'm in.
If you would like to offer feedback to any of the Servant Leadership podcasts, please go to our Facebook page and click on the comment section. You can also check us out online at trueservantleadership.com. Our site will soon have videos for the tools that we recommend using, and we will be adding additional content to the website in the future, including links for these podcasts. All of our material comes from the book Servant Leadership, Influencing Others to Get There by Leading a Transformational Life. If you're interested in the book, you can find it at Amazon.com. Both the paperback and the electronic version are available for order. The electronic version is only $1.99, and all of the proceeds from the book go to charity. Thanks for listening. Influencing Others to Get There, Serving Others, and most of all, thanks for leading with the example of a transformational life set by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.